Coming up in Which Way Is Life, episode number 5, my guest today, superstar veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber. Learn how pets can help you live a healthier life, what the human-animal bond is, and Halloween pet safety tips. You need those. That's coming up with veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So excited to have Dr. Jeff Werber with us today. Dr. Jeff is a frequent guest speaker on such shows such as Dr. Oz, CBS Sunday Morning, and CNN Sunday Morning, among others. As an Emmy Award-winning veterinarian, he has hosted the wildly popular Petcetera on Animal Planet Network. Dr. Jeff also cares for the pets of Hollywood's biggest stars, including Ben Affleck, Britney Spears, Julia Roberts, Ashton Kutcher, and Mark Wahlberg, along with those of everyday pet owners. And Dr. Jeff also dedicates his time to many groups in the animal welfare community. Dr. Jeff Werber, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Can you let us in a little bit on your personal life? Who are you when you're not caring for animals?
Well, when I'm not caring for animals, there's very little. No, I am a father. I'm a grandfather, doting on my grandchildren. And I still play a lot of basketball with kids half my age, which I love. And I took up, because of my son's prodding years ago and forcing me, snowboarding. And now I'm looking actually forward to winter, as I am handling double blacks like it's nothing. And I'm loving it. It's keeping me young. It's keeping me young and fun. But basically, I say my vocation and avocation are pets.
And that is terrific. And I like the how you know the terminology when it comes to snowboarding.
Excellent. Oh, I love it. I love the riding. I'm having a great time.
Well, that's really cool. Dr. Jeff, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
I think the one thing that any of us can do to improve our lives, believe it or not, is do something nice, beneficial, good for somebody else. Whether that somebody else is two-legged or four-legged, I think that that really does enrich our lives when you get to help someone else. And it's done selfishly, and that's the best way. Unselfish, helping someone else is really the way to go.
Absolutely true. Well, Dr. Jeff, before we get into Halloween pet safety tips, you say your mission is to strengthen the human companion animal bond. Why is that bond so important to our overall health and well-being?
Well, you know, first of all, the pets do so much for us. There has been so many scientific studies now done about the benefits of pet ownership. They show that lowers blood pressure. When a senior passes away and the surviving spouse has a pet, they live over 5 years longer than spouses of that same age that don't have pets. It gives them purpose. It gets them out there. They've shown that children that grow up with pets, believe it or not, have less allergies because they're exposed to more when their immune systems are becoming developed, that when they get older, less asthma in kids that grew up with pets in the household. How about studies? Kids, it has shown that they score 5 to 10 points higher on their IQ test. You know, I always joke. I said, you know, with heart disease, you have lower cholesterol with pets. Get the Labrador instead of the Lipitor, and get the Terrier instead of the Tudor, because kids score higher on their scores, test scores, when they have pets in the house, because it gives them a different kind of focus. They learn to sit down and to have, again, do something for someone else, and that helps them do something for themselves.
So you mentioned the blood pressure. I've also read get a dog, lose weight, because of the added exercise in walking your dog. So what are some of the other ways pets can benefit our health?
Well, I think that, again, it gives us purpose. You mentioned obesity is the number one nutritional disease affecting our pets, okay? We also know that 75% of obese pets belong to owners who themselves could lose a few. So as you just mentioned, just getting out there and it does help them. It teaches kids responsibility. It gets you off your behinds and doing something good for yourselves. And from a medical standpoint, it's interesting. I've seen this with my own eyes, that when you do hospital visitation programs with pets, they call therapy dogs, right? You see these kids or these adults, regardless, light up every time they see a dog and start petting a dog. So there's some magic there that we actually can't put into words, let alone some other science of dogs being able to predict cancers. And people with epilepsy now have dogs because dogs can sense the seizure coming on before it comes on, and can warn an owner who's having a seizure problem that, you know what, if you're driving in a car at the time, you better pull over. So it is amazing. One of my clients was sure that her dog was the first one to diagnose her breast cancer. So these things, they don't surprise me anymore. I think we talk about our sixth sense. I think dogs have about 10 or 12.
Well, that is amazing. So how can we strengthen that bond with our pets?
So the keys are, well, first of all, get a pet. I've always been very cautious about people that never had a pet. When an adult comes in my office with a dog, and I'll say, you know, did you ever have a dog as a kid? Because they seem to know nothing. They never had dogs. And I feel so sorry for them, because it's the best thing. I've never been without a pet. I grew up in a household with pets. I now have 11 of my own, and a very large bed because of it. Because they all
11?
Have a kid, of course. Yes.
Wow.
5 dogs and 6 cats. Don't tell anybody. So I think to just spend time with that, to appreciate the pets in your home, and they will appreciate you. There's nothing, you talk about the unconditional love, there is nothing like it. You can have the worst day in the world, and you come home, and that pet will just cheer you up. And they have a knack of doing that. So it's that relationship, it's that bond that keeps us going. And I think that you're doing so much good for a pet as well, when you share your lives with a pet, when you share your, open up your home to a pet, and especially nowadays with the number of pets that are being destroyed, euthanized because of overcrowding in our country's shelters, that it does so much to literally save a life. So you're saving 2 lives in the process. Truly, you're saving the pet's life, and in many ways, you're saving your own.
Well, earlier you mentioned that bond is magic, and I certainly believe that. Okay, for someone listening, and you touched on it, who may not have a dog, you said first thing to do, get a pet. For someone who is thinking about getting a pet, let's keep it to dogs right now.
Sure.
And I know this is very subjective, but can you give us a recommendation of maybe 2 or 3 dogs that would be high on your list to consider for a first-time dog owner?
You know, I think when it comes to first-time dog owners, it depends a lot about on your lifestyle, on your living situation. Are you in a home with a yard? Are you in an apartment? Do you have an opportunity to get out often? Do you live in the, you know, way up north in North America where it's freezing cold, or where it's tough to get out all the time? You might want a couch potato. If you have a dog that's very active and it's going to thrive on going to the dog park and chasing the ball or frisbee or tennis ball, get yourself a retriever of some sort. I have Labradors. I'm in love with my 2 French Bulldogs. They're great dogs because they don't need a ton of exercise. They're extremely friendly. They are so much fun. But I think, you know, like a little Lhasa Apso or Shih Tzu are terrific little dogs. But again, they're going to need some grooming. Anything with the poodle in it, I think, are great dogs. The Malty Poo, the Shih Poo, the Labradoodle, the Golden Doodle. I just saw the most amazing dog. It's an Aussie Doodle. It's an Australian Shepherd mixed with a poodle, a medium size, don't really shed very much, and unbelievably cute. So a guy who's got 5 dogs and who sees dogs every day, that's a really tough question for the person, because in my book, almost any dog fits. My youngest daughter just adopted a pit bull, and people go, my God, a pit bull. I have to tell you, I took care of this pit bull this weekend. She was away, and even mingling with my other dogs, this was the sweetest dog of all. My Labrador, one of my labs, I have 2, one of them was actually more trying to be the aggressor, and this pit bull just let anything go. He's amazing. So,
well, Dr. Jeff, didn't pit bulls used to be dogs of royalty way back when, pit bulls?
Absolutely. And, you know, what people don't understand, even back in the day when they were used for fighting, believe it or not, and I hate to use this word, but it was known as a gentlemanly sport. And any dog, any pit bull, fighting dog, that showed aggression to any other dog, they were culled and put to sleep. So that's the issue, is that when we hear these terrible stories about this breed, it's not the dog, it's not in their nature, it's the people.
It's
and
the
often
owners.
That's the case. It's the owners that are handling and training and teaching and abusing. That's where we end up with problems. By nature, yes, they are programmed to want to fight. They have amazingly strong jaws, but it's not their nature to hurt and attack people.
You know, I had the same perception of pit bulls, like, oh my God, you have a pit bull? Are you crazy? You know, I don't want to be near that dog. Get it away from me. But then I have a friend that has a pit bull, and he explained pit bulls to me and really got in depth, and I was asking a lot of questions, and then I went and I researched it for myself, and everything you said there is correct about pit bulls. It's the owners that breed them and raise them aggressively that is
correct.
The problem, not inherently the dog itself. What is it about animals that you have learned that we all should know but we don't?
What I'm learning is how much we don't know. And as we spend more time and as science is becoming more of an entity studying dogs, studying their behavior, studying their intellect, we're learning so much more that I am no longer surprised when I hear amazing stories about dogs, about what they've done, about dogs that, for example, I'll give you a perfect example, is a dog that wakes up its owner in a fire, okay? Well, there are many that have always said, the dog knows that the only way that door opens is when you're around to open the door for them. So they're not waking you to save you. They're waking you to save themselves.
Mm.
It's like, right? But then you hear story after story where there was a window wide open or the animal ran back into the house to save somebody, that you realize that they have such a desire to, they bond with us just as much as we bond with them. And they realize that, and they sense it, and I think it really drives and motivates them. And that's why we have such a strong connection, such a strong bond with them. So what I learned the most is how little we really, truly understand about the deep nature of our dog.
Well, coming up, Dr. Jeff, I'm going to spend a little time on your journey. But before we do that, can you share with us your pet Halloween safety tips since Halloween is coming up?
Well, when it comes to Halloween, which is, you know, it's a great time and it's very festive and kids having a wonderful time, a couple of things I just would like to sort of prepare people for. Number one, let's face it, dogs like to eat junk and they love chocolate. Chocolate can be toxic, depends how much they ingest and what type of chocolate. Most milk chocolates, there's a lot of leeway, but you want to be careful. Unfortunately, however, our dogs have not really learned or have the dexterity to open wrappers. And don't think that something that is covered in a wrapper is going to be avoided by the dog's ability to sniff it out. We have about 5 million nasal receptors in our nose that sense and smell. Dogs have 200 million. That means 40 times what we have. Mm. So a wrapper, a cellophane wrapper, paper wrapper, does nothing to hide that smell. So don't kid yourselves. They pick up anything. They can tell you the ingredients in order with that nose that they have. So be careful with your candy. Make sure you keep it away from your pets. Doors being the doorbell ringing every several minutes, and these funny-looking people wearing these funny-looking costumes, well, even the sweetest dog might object to the intruder and may even snap if they fear that they're being threatened. So, again, know your dog well and be very careful. It might be smart to keep your dog away from the front door. And when they get very frightened, a lot of dogs and cats will bolt. So, again, you want to be very careful. If you choose to take your dog out trick-or-treating, you know, again, it's usually in the evening. Their light, their vision is not always as acute in lower light. And they see this group of very strange-looking people approaching. That might freak them out as well. So even the sweetest dog may bite. And if you're going to dress your dog in a costume, I also recommend to use a little bit of caution, make sure it doesn't hurt them, make sure it's not too tight in certain parts of their body. It might affect their vision, their ability to see. So yes, it's cute for you. Yes, it's cute to take the funny pictures and put them on the website. and put them on Instagram, but it may not be the safest or the smartest thing for your pet. So my recommendation is be careful, be proactive, and know your pets. Know what they will tolerate, know what they won't tolerate, and if there's any question, you're better safe than sorry. Keep them away from the kids. Keep them away from the front door. Put them in a safe room in the other part of the house. Maybe don't take them along with you to trick-or-treating, and you can make this a holiday a very fun one. And in exchange for being so well-behaved, make sure they get some of their own good stuff for the holiday. Give themselves their own chew toy or treats to keep themselves occupied while you're out there busy with all the kids.
And you touched on the candy and candy wrappers, and there are certain foods that are not good for a dog, such as sugar. And
sure,
even
well, too
and
much
you say
chocolate.
Dark chocolate is bad,
dark
right?
Chocolate.
So
don't
give a nibble to the dog, right?
Exactly. And also be careful with sugarless products like sugarless gums and sugarless mints. They contain an active ingredient called xylitol, and xylitol can be very toxic to dogs. So we want to be very, very careful. And interestingly also that oftentimes people will give medication with peanut butter, which is great. And many people buy this newly available sugarless peanut butter. Well, guess what? Sugarless peanut butter is often sweetened with xylitol, and therefore that too needs to be avoided.
And raisins and nuts aren't good either.
Raisins, nuts, and grapes also. All the, anything with raisins, they have to, again, the problem with raisins some dogs are lacking an enzyme that sort of digests these enzymes. I mean, digest the raisin skins, and there are something called procynthiodins in the raisins and grapes. And if you have one of those dogs, then these can be very toxic. Even a small handful of raisins to a small dog, 4 or 5 raisins, can be very, very toxic to small dogs. So, again, be very careful. When in doubt, just avoid, because it might be very hard to find your veterinarian or the poison control center when you're in a panic. So if in doubt, just keep your pets away from them and be safe.
Well, those are great tips, and thank you for sharing those with us. And let's hope that we all have a safe and happy Halloween coming up. Dr. Jeff, I do want to spend a little time on your journey. I'm very curious. What inspired you to become one of our leading veterinarians?
Well, it's a great question. I think has something to do with my having been a dog in a prior life. I literally am one of those when you talk to my parents, I've wanted to be a veterinarian ever since I could talk. Ever since I was 5 years old, I talked about becoming a veterinarian. And it was one of those things that, many kids grow up wanting to be a vet, but very, very few actually get there. And for me, it was a journey that started when I was young, and I never strayed. This is something I've always wanted to do, and I joke that I must have been a dog in a prior life. I have an amazing, unusual relationship, don't take that the wrong way, with dogs. It's almost like there's something that we are, our souls, if you will, are on the same playing field. I work with very aggressive dogs. I hear about things about me that I didn't even know were true, but people come to me and say, "We heard you're an expert with aggressive dogs," or we heard that nobody can touch my cat except Dr. Werber. I mean, that kind of thing. And I have no idea. I can't tell you what it was, but it was something that I just knew. It was a calling. It was definitely a calling. I don't even think I had much of a choice. And and now it is what I'm in my 33rd year of practice. And there's no doubt in my mind it was the correct path for me.
You're doing what you were meant to do.
Absolutely.
Which I love hearing. Now, I'm sure you've had important people that have made an impact in your life and your journey. What's the best piece of advice you were ever given? Can you share that with us?
I would say that, follow your heart, follow your passion. I've always told people, and I lecture back in my high school, actually, on they have a very well-developed career day every year. And I'm there lecturing, of course, about veterinary medicine. And I want people to realize that it's a very, very challenging journey. It's actually more difficult to get into veterinary school than it is medical school. And there are so few veterinary schools in the country. And they're very, very selective. And back in my day, coming from California, I only had one choice. And that was the University of California at Davis. And very tough to get into. The average accepted student applied 3 times. I was beyond that average. I actually applied 4 times. And after my 3rd rejection, the dean of admissions having met with him and what else could I do to break through to you guys and get me into the school, he told me I should give it up, that I will not get into veterinary school at UC Davis. Just that. And if you didn't get into school at Davis, they didn't have these other schools that you can go to now, out of the country. Any other foreign veterinary school would not accept an American, certainly not an English-speaking country. So that eliminated England and Australia and all those vet schools. Canada would not accept a U.S. resident. It was really tough. Anyway, I talked to an old veterinary friend of mine who I know went to Davis. He applied 5 times. And I was working with him when I was an undergrad at Berkeley, at the Berkeley Dog and Cat Hospital. And I called Jan and I asked him, I said, Jan, do you have any regrets? He goes, about what? And I said, about waiting so long to get into vet school. And he goes, what happened? And I told him the story. He said, Jeff, don't listen to him. You apply. Anyway, I reapplied and I got in. So you got to keep going. If you have that dream, if you have that passion, you got to go for it.
So that's a lesson in perseverance, and that's a lesson we all can use. And for somebody that's starting out on a journey or trying something new, and they're giving it a shot, and they're running into a brick wall, keep going, keep going, keep going. Coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Jeff, and if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning and joy in their life, and pets certainly fall into that, that's for sure. So we're trying to reach the most people we can. If you can, jump on over to iTunes after the interview with Dr. Jeff, rate and review the show, leave comments, tell me what you're interested in, tell me what you're concerned about in life, and by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that, I would greatly appreciate it. The High Five with Dr. Werber is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my valued listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I'm currently listening to Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. It's a really cool book to help you answer the questions we all seem to ask in life and at work. How can I have more meaning and purpose? Something we talk about right here on Which Way is Life. If you want to check out Designing Your Life, you can download it for free today. Go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, you can get it for free. That's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dr. Jeff Werber. Dr. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready.
Question number one, as a veterinarian, what question do you get asked the most?
I would say twofold. Number one is, what should I feed my pet? And how can I get my pet to stop scratching?
Okay, so is there a quick answer for the scratching?
The scratching is, there's so many. It's the number one skin-related problem we're going to see is that itchy dog. We see so often. It's going to be anywhere from allergy to fleas to secondary skin infection. And we really need to be, the pet needs to be seen. And because every treatment is going to be a little bit different depending on what the underlying problem is.
Okay, question number two. What frustrates you most when it comes to pet owners?
I think what frustrates me the most would be owners that either don't comply with what we've asked them to do or what we sent home. And also, I'd say it's partly what upset me and how I got involved in the meeting in the first place was that the profession itself, I don't think, has done it's pet owners of the world and thus pets justice in educating them. And I think it's up to us as the veterinarians to do a better job because the profession really hasn't in the past. However, having said that, they are getting better and better at it.
Question number three, if you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
I would say there's a book written by a good friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Marty Becker, called The Healing Power of Pets. And he starts, this is now written a few years ago, all the amazing science that has gone on to prove and to show the benefits of sharing your lives and homes with a pet.
Back to that relationship thing again with your pet.
Absolutely.
Question number four, what's the funniest pet name you've ever encountered?
Oh, my God, that is a tough one. I'd have to say one of my own. And we used to call him Noodles. And I also had a cat that was a beautiful, magnificent cat. And my son chose to call him Zoolander Male Model because he was magnificent.
I love it. All right, question number five. Finish this question. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To enjoy yourself every day and to give yourself a purpose in life, and that keeps you going, which is why, as we discussed, having a pet, especially when you're single, when you're alone, when you're a widow or widower, it gives you that purpose. And there's nothing that keeps you healthier than waking up every morning with a purpose.
And having that unconditional love right by your side with your trusty pet right there.
It's the best. Absolute best.
Well, Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today. How can we connect with you?
You can connect with me very easily on drjeff at drjeff.com, drjeff at drjeff.com. Now, if you have any questions for me, I'd love to answer. You can also listen to me on my radio show. I have an internet radio show on Pet Life Radio, where every Sunday we would love to have any of your listeners call in, get free advice, pet questions, go from there. Pet Life Radio is called Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff.
That's terrific, and we will put a link to that on our show notes page, so you can find that right there. It'll all be there waiting for you. Dr. Jeff, thanks again, and remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thanks again, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you again so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And if I could ask a quick favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps the show gain more visibility. And I'd love it if you would leave a review as well. If you could do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. Hit me up there. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well. We'll be right back.